Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
All right. So have you ever like daydreamed about winning the lottery? Just so you could like move away from your terrible neighbors?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can relate to that for sure.
Well, today we are diving deep into a letter that might make you feel a little less alone in that fantasy.
Oh, this is going to be good.
This one landed in the inbox of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast.
And oh, wow.
Trust me, it has all the drama of a reality TV show.
I'm intrigued. Lay it on me.
We're talking property lines, noise complaints, and pranks that escalate to a whole new level.
Sounds juicy.
And don't worry, we're going to break down this whole situation from both sides to give you the full picture.
All right, I'm ready to hear it all.
Okay, so our letter writer, we'll call her B, describes her vacation home in the mountains as this peaceful sanctuary in the pines.
Okay.
Which they've owned for like 2 decades.
Wow, 20 years of peace and quiet.
Right. Imagine that.
That sounds lovely.
Before we meet the antagonist of this story,
yeah.
I'm curious about these previous neighbors that B mentioned. There was an elderly lady in the house next door who apparently baked amazing apple pies.
Oh, that's sweet.
What do you make of that detail?
I think it just kind of emphasizes that sense of community that B was used to, you know? It really sets up a stark contrast to what's coming next.
Yeah.
That kind of friendly, idyllic, you know, neighborhood dynamic makes the arrival of these new neighbors, the C's, all the more disruptive.
It's like a total shift in vibes.
Oh, yeah.
So B describes Rachel and Blake, the C's, as this annoyingly vibrant couple.
Okay.
Think endless DIY projects a revolving door of guests and zero respect for boundaries.
Oh, boy, that doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It sounds like they brought this whole different energy to the neighborhood, one that clashes hard with B's desire for peace and quiet.
You know, that clash of lifestyles is often at the heart of these neighbor disputes.
Mm.
You have different expectations, different ways of living.
Right.
And when those collide, it creates a lot of friction.
Yeah, especially in a place where people are looking for a retreat, you know.
Yeah.
A break from all the hustle and bustle.
Absolutely. Peace and quiet is usually the top priority for a vacation home.
Exactly. And that friction really ignites with the whole parking situation on the shared easement.
Uh-oh, I have a feeling I know where this is going.
Yeah, this is where it starts to get messy.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into the specifics, maybe you can give us a quick explainer on what an easement actually is, legally speaking.
Sure.
Because I think that's key to understanding this whole conflict.
Yeah, so basically an easement gives someone the right to use another person's property for a specific purpose.
Okay.
In this case, it sounds like the easement gives both B and the C's the right to use a shared driveway to access their properties.
Got it.
It's meant to be mutually beneficial, but it can also be a major point of contention like we see here.
Right. So back to the story. B tries to handle this whole parking issue amicably. At first, even bakes cookies as a peace offering.
Oh, wow. She went the extra mile.
I know, right? But Rachel and Blake are completely dismissive.
Really?
They just park their Subaru and then eventually a whole fleet of vehicles right on that easement.
Oh, no.
Essentially blocking B's access.
Not cool at all. What was their reaction when B tried to talk to them?
So B mentions that Rachel kind of giggled and said, "It's not a big deal."
Oh, wow.
While Blake just stood there holding his IPA like it was some kind of victory flag.
Oh, the classic I'm not listening stance.
Yeah, I know, right? Their body language speaks volumes.
It definitely sends a message, and it's not a good one.
Okay, now we have to talk about Hank the Labrador.
Oh boy, here we go.
Look, I'm a dog person, but even I have limits when it comes to other people's pets.
I hear you.
This Hank apparently treats B's yard like his personal toilet.
No.
B even catches him squatting in her flower bed, and Rachel just brushes it off with, "Don't worry, he's super friendly."
Seriously, that's not how you handle a dog who's not respecting boundaries.
Right, it's that lack of accountability that's just so frustrating.
Absolutely. It's a red flag, not just for dog ownership, but for navigating any kind of shared space.
Yeah.
It suggests that the C's aren't willing to take responsibility for their actions, or in this case, their dog's actions.
And it sets a pattern that's likely to repeat itself.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Well, believe me, it does. The C's escalate from just inconvenient parking to like full-blown Party Central hosting guests almost every weekend.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking hordes of bros in board shorts and women in those giant floppy hats.
Yikes.
All taking over B's driveway, spilling onto her property for their cornhole tournaments.
Sounds like a nightmare.
B tries to stand her ground, but they just laugh it off.
Of course they do.
They've clearly mastered the art of casual disregard.
It's like they're intentionally trying to create this party house reputation.
Right.
And B's peaceful retreat is just collateral damage.
Then comes the shed incident.
What happened with the shed?
So Bee's looking out her window one day and sees a delivery truck unloading materials for this massive shed.
Okay.
Not just any shed. Mind you, this thing is built just 1 foot from her property line.
Seriously?
Completely blocking her view.
That's so inconsiderate.
Bee confronts them about it, points out how it's right on the line, but Rachel Everett, the picture of innocence, claims it's totally within code.
Oh, come on. I bet it wasn't.
Of course it wasn't.
Yeah.
But Bee says arguing with them is like trying to nail Jell-O to a tree.
Oh, I hate when people are like that.
They are masters of deflection.
That's so frustrating.
So Bee starts exploring other options.
Like what?
She consults a lawyer.
Okay, good for her.
Even considers putting up physical barriers to like protect her space.
Yeah, she needs to set some boundaries.
But the C's don't back down.
Really? What do they do?
In fact, they seem to double down on the antagonistic behavior.
That's where it really starts to feel like a psychological game, you know?
Uh-huh.
They're pushing Bee's buttons, testing her limits. It's no longer about just the physical space. It's about control and dominance.
And speaking of psychological games, things take a truly bizarre turn with the Top Gun incident.
Oh, the Top Gun incident. This is where their inconsiderate behavior reaches a whole new level of absurdity.
Mm.
Okay, so picture this. It's like 2 a.m. and B is jolted awake by this like cacophony of sound coming from next door.
I can't even imagine.
She looks out her window and what does she see?
What?
The C's have turned their backyard into a full-blown drive-in movie theater.
You're kidding me.
Complete with a projector beaming Top Gun Maverick right onto the side of that massive shed.
No way.
Guests are like lounging on pool floats, music is blaring, and of course, beer is spilling onto Bee's lawn.
This is unreal. It's like they're intentionally trying to create a scene from a bad neighbor comedy.
Right. It's like a complete lack of awareness.
Uh-huh.
They're so wrapped up in their own fun that they're totally oblivious to the impact they're having on Bee.
Or maybe they are aware and they just don't care.
Yeah. That's always a possibility, too.
Ugh. Either way, it's infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
So Bee, like, shouts for them to turn it down, but Blake just smirks and says, "Sorry, neighbor, didn't think you'd hear it all the way over there."
Oh, my gosh.
As if their property lines magically prevent sound from traveling.
Ugh, the audacity.
And Rachel, never one to miss an opportunity for passive aggression, chimes in with, "God, some people are so uptight."
Seriously, they're the ones having a rave at 2 a.m.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's insane.
Oh.
So their dismissiveness is almost as loud as the movie soundtrack at this point.
I bet.
It's like they're daring Bee to react to, like, escalate the situation.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happens. This incident becomes a turning point,
uh-huh.
pushing Bee towards a course of action that she might not have considered otherwise.
And that brings us to the breaking point.
Yeah.
It's Christmas time. Bee and her husband are returning from a few months away.
Okay.
Only to find their driveway completely blocked by two of the C's vehicles.
Are you serious?
And Rachel wearing a sparkly reindeer headband like she's starring in a holiday rom-com.
Oh, I can picture it.
Casually greets Bee with, "Oh, hey, we thought you were staying in the city."
As if blocking someone's access to their own home during the holidays is just like a minor inconvenience.
I know, right? The audacity is just astounding.
It really is. They've basically commandeered Bee's property at this point.
Right.
And their attempt to justify it is just adding insult to injury. It's a clear power play, you know?
It really is. So Bee demands they move their cars, but Rachel just starts whining about how the driveway is full and Blake's brother is visiting.
Oh, brother.
As if that somehow excuses their behavior.
Ah, that's so frustrating.
So Bee goes back inside fuming and then hears engines revving.
Oh.
She looks out the window and there's Blake grinning like a maniac doing donuts on the icy easement before parking directly in front of their door.
Oh, no, he did not.
He did. This is a blatant act of provocation.
Absolutely. He's no longer trying to hide his disregard for Bee. He's like reveling in it.
It's like he's enjoying the conflict at this point.
Yeah, deriving some kind of twisted satisfaction from pushing Bee to her limit.
And she reaches that limit while her husband wants to call the police. Bee decides it's time for a little payback.
Oh, things are about to get interesting.
This is where things take a turn from frustrating to fascinating. Bee hatches this revenge plot worthy of a Coen Brothers film.
I'm all ears.
It starts small Bee orders, motion-activated sprinklers, and strategically positions them along her driveway.
Okay, I like where this is going.
The first time Hank trots over for his usual bathroom break,
yeah,
he gets a face full of icy water.
Oh, that's perfect.
Rachel complains, of course.
Mm.
But Bee plays innocent, claiming the sprinklers are to deter deer.
The classic passive-aggressive move.
I know, right? It's brilliant.
So it's like a small victory for B.
Yeah, a little taste of revenge.
But it's also a sign that things are escalating.
Oh, yeah. They definitely are.
Hmm?
Next up, B invests in a high-frequency noise emitter.
Ooh, what's that?
Supposedly, it's designed to repel pests. But this isn't about pests.
I was going to say.
This is about psychological warfare.
This is getting good.
She aims it directly at the sea shed, subjecting Blake to this constant ear-piercing whine that drives him to the brink of madness.
I bet that got his attention.
Oh, yeah, it did.
Yeah.
But B's not done yet. Her pièce de résistance is this carefully curated playlist of the most obnoxious sounds imaginable.
Like what kind of sounds?
Leaf blowers, construction noise, a baby crying, you name it.
Oh, my gosh.
She blasts this symphony of annoyance from speakers hidden in her garden.
That's evil genius.
Starting at 6 a.m. sharp every Saturday.
Talk about a rude awakening.
I know, right? It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the seas, they're not ones to back down.
Of course not.
They retaliate with floodlights that bathe Bee's bedroom in an eerie glow all night long.
Aww.
Rachel starts dumping their trash over the fence, blaming it on raccoons.
Yeah, right? Like, anyone's going to believe that.
And Blake, never one to miss an opportunity for a dramatic gesture, erects this hand-painted sign on the easement that reads, "Private road, no trespassing."
Seriously. It's like they're trying to rewrite the rules of the neighborhood.
Right, like they're the kings of their little suburban kingdom.
This has turned into a full-blown suburban war.
It has, hasn't it?
Each side is resorting to these increasingly petty and aggressive tactics.
And it's all about to reach a fever pitch.
Oh boy, lay it on me.
So Bee and her husband come home one day to find their driveway completely blocked by a mountain of firewood.
You've got to be kidding me.
And to add insult to injury, the shed has been freshly painted with the word blessed in these giant saccharine sweet cursive letters.
This is too much. I can't even.
It's like a scene out of a twisted Pinterest board.
So the firewood and the blessed sign are a clear escalation.
Oh, yeah.
A deliberate attempt to provoke B.
Uh-huh.
They're no longer just ignoring her boundaries. They're like mocking her.
Right.
Taunting her, pushing her to a breaking point.
And snap, she does. B grabs a hammer and starts dismantling the firewood pile, unleashing a torrent of rage that would make a drill sergeant blush.
Oh, wow.
Blake comes running out, phone in hand, filming the whole thing.
Of course he is.
Calling her Karen and telling her to chill out.
Oh, my God.
As if he's the voice of reason in this insane situation.
The irony is just unbelievable.
Right. B screams at Blake to move his firewood. He refuses until she apologizes for being a terrible neighbor.
Seriously.
Which is just ludicrous.
I know, right? It's like they've completely lost touch with reality.
Rachel arrives, clutching Hank's leash, and announces they're calling the cops.
Ugh, here we go.
B's response. Good. Maybe they can explain what an easement is.
Oh, man, this is a disaster waiting to happen.
It is. So the police arrive, and of course, Blake and Rachel transform into these, like, the picture of wronged innocence.
They're putting on a show.
Oh, yeah. They've got tears, accusations of harassment.
Ugh, I can't believe this.
Even a fabricated story about bee poisoning Hank.
What? That's so messed up.
It is. The officer, overwhelmed by their theatrical performance, suggests mediation.
At least he's trying.
Right. Rachel suggests Bee sell her house. And Blake, ever the paragon of diplomacy, tells her to chill the hell out.
Wow, they are good.
It's a masterclass in manipulation.
They've managed to turn the tables on B.
Completely. B says nothing, yep. But as she watches them bask in their, like, undeserved victory, she makes a silent bow.
Uh-oh.
This isn't over. The letter ends with B telling the Nightmare Neighbors podcast that the war continues.
Oh, no, this is going to get ugly.
It's a cold war of sprinklers, floodlights, and passive-aggressive lawn ornaments.
It's a never-ending cycle of pettiness.
So is there ever a winner in these kinds of neighbor wars?
That's the real tragedy here. Even if one side achieves some semblance of victory,
yeah,
the emotional toll, the stress, the wasted time and energy, it all takes such a heavy toll.
It sounds utterly exhausting.
It is. It can really poison your sense of peace and well-being.
So what stands out to you the most in this whole saga?
I think the psychological transformation is particularly fascinating. We see how the C's behavior, you know, their blatant disregard for boundaries, their gaslighting, their constant need for attention,
right,
how it impacts B's mental state. She goes from this peaceful resident of her mountain sanctuary to someone plotting elaborate revenge schemes.
It's like she's been sucked into their orbit of chaos.
Exactly. It highlights how conflict can distort our perceptions, you know, make us act in ways we never thought possible.
It's a cautionary tale about the dangers of letting these disputes consume us.
Absolutely.
So what advice would you give to someone finding themselves in a similar situation?
Well, first and foremost, detach emotionally.
Okay.
I know it's easier said than done when you're dealing with inconsiderate neighbors, but try to see the situation objectively.
Don't give them the power to control your peace of mind.
Exactly. Second, document everything.
What do you mean?
Keep records of noise complaints, parking violations, any interactions you have.
Okay. Why is that important?
It can be crucial if you need to involve law enforcement or pursue legal action.
Because sometimes the loudest voice wins.
Unfortunately, that's often the case. And finally, consider seeking professional help.
What, like a therapist?
Yeah, or a mediator. Someone who can offer guidance in navigating these conflicts and developing healthy coping mechanisms.
So don't let the seas of the world turn you into a vengeful, sprinkler-wielding warrior.
Exactly. Remember, your well-being is more valuable than winning a petty neighbor war.
Wise words. All right. So, dear listeners, we hope you found this deep dive into the world of nightmare neighbors both entertaining and insightful.
I know, I have.
Remember, if you're facing a similar situation, take a deep breath, set those boundaries.
Yeah, good advice.
And maybe invest in some noise-canceling headphones.
And perhaps a good lawyer.
Indeed. And hey, if all else fails, there's always the motion-activated sprinkler option. Just saying.
Just be sure you're aiming it at the right target. And by that, I mean dandelions. Always aim for the dandelions.
On that note, we'll see you next time for another fascinating deep dive. Until then, happy neighboring.
Oh. You know, it's crazy how this whole thing with like B and the C's went from a simple parking dispute to like all out psychological warfare.
It's true.
It really makes you wonder what drives people to those extremes.
Well, there's this fascinating psychological principle at play here.
Okay.
Called the reciprocity principle.
Reciprocity?
Yeah, basically, it's this idea that we feel obligated to respond in kind to how others treat us.
Okay.
So, like when someone does something nice for us, we want to do something nice back.
Right.
But the flip side is also true. When someone wrongs us, especially repeatedly, it triggers this urge to retaliate.
So it's like that whole eye for an eye thing.
But in a suburban setting, with motion-activated sprinklers instead of swords.
Yeah, pretty much. And the problem is this cycle of retaliation rarely leads to a satisfying resolution.
Right. It just keeps the conflict going.
Exactly. And often escalates things further.
Which is exactly what happened with B and the C's.
It is. It's like they got caught in this spiral of one-upmanship, each act of revenge fueling the next.
And it's important to remember that this constant state of conflict, even if it's mostly playing out in your backyard, it takes a toll on your well-being.
Absolutely.
It can lead to stress, anxiety, even sleep problems.
Not to mention the sheer awkwardness of living next door to someone you're actively feuding with.
Oh my gosh, right? Imagine running into Rachel at the grocery store while she's wearing that reindeer headband.
Oh, I can't even imagine. The social implications can be significant too, you know? These conflicts can divide communities, pit neighbor against neighbor.
Yeah, it becomes like this whole neighborhood drama.
Exactly. It's not just about the two parties involved. It can impact the entire social fabric of a neighborhood.
So if you find yourself in the early stages of a neighbor dispute, what are some practical steps you can take to prevent it from escalating into like a full-blown war?
Well, communication is key,
okay,
but it has to be the right kind of communication.
What do you mean?
Like, don't go in with guns blazing, accusing them of being terrible neighbors.
Okay.
Start by simply stating the facts and expressing how their actions are impacting you.
Got it.
Focus on I statements. Like, I'm finding it difficult to enjoy my backyard because of the noise level, rather than you're being too loud.
So ditch the blame game and focus on finding a solution that works for both sides.
Exactly. And be willing to compromise. Maybe there are certain times a day when they can be a bit louder, or you can work out a schedule for using shared spaces like the driveway.
But what if, like in B's case, your neighbors are just completely unreasonable, the type who thrive on conflict?
That's where documentation becomes crucial. Keep detailed records of every incident.
Like what kind of records?
Dates, times, descriptions, even photos or videos if possible.
So basically build a case file.
In a way, yes.
Yeah.
But the goal is to resolve the conflict peacefully, not to win a war.
Right.
Documentation simply provides evidence if things escalate beyond your control.
And if all else fails and those motion-activated sprinklers start looking really tempting, what then?
Then consider consulting with a lawyer who specializes in property disputes.
Okay.
They can advise you on your legal options and help you navigate the complexities of things like easements and property lines.
Because sometimes knowing your rights can give you the confidence to stand your ground.
Exactly. And remember, your mental well-being is paramount. If the situation is causing you significant stress or anxiety, don't hesitate to seek professional help.
So Therapy is always an option.
Absolutely. A therapist can provide coping strategies and help you manage the emotional toll of these conflicts.
So, dear listener, if you're currently, like, embroiled in a neighborly feud, remember communication documentation and, if necessary, legal counsel and emotional support.
Great advice.
Don't let the seas of the world steal your peace of mind.
It's your home, your sanctuary. Protect it, but don't let it become a battleground.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive into the wild world of nightmare neighbors. We'll see you next time for another fascinating exploration of a topic you probably never thought you needed to know this much about. Until then, may your fences be sturdy, your boundaries respected, and your neighbors at least tolerable.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.